Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we'll be taking a deep dive into optical healthcare monitoring company, Acuity. We're going to be looking at their solutions. We're going to be looking at what they're doing out there for people that are suffering from conditions such as myopia, diabetes and Alzheimer's. Acuity are currently raising funds on Republic. We're going to be looking at the round and why they're currently raising funds at this point in time. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by Dan Daly, who is the founder and CEO of Acuity, and Mark Jenkins, who is the CCO. Dan and Mark, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Hi, Jonathan. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, good to meet you.
So, as I say, we're going to be looking at your solutions. We're going to be looking at the work you're doing and the impact that you're having on the population here in the UK, as well as your plans for the future and where you see the business going. But before we get into it, please could you give us an introduction, first of all, to yourself, a background to your history within the industry and a bit of background of what Acuity does. And I think, Dan, probably that's a question for you as the founder and CEO.
I'm Dan Daly. My background historically is physics, my first degree, but then moved on from there in doing research in optics primarily. It's my PhD is in micro-optics, making very, very small lenses and using those to make measurements on a range of things. I've worked in areas from telecoms to measuring nuclear reactors to a whole range of things, including medical measurements on the body. So having worked in optics and using light to make measurements for many years, I wanted to do something where those measurements were worthwhile. You know, measuring light going through fibers telecoms is beneficial, but it's not quite as meaningful as working in the medical space. So I wanted to use my knowledge of optics in making measurements on the body. And similarly, Robin Taylor, who's our CTO and the other co-founder, his background is in biomedical engineering, actually making systems for drilling into the skull for cochlear implants. He's one of these people who can combine expertise in optics, mechanics, electronics, software, firmware. He just makes new things work properly. And he had the same kind of desire into work in the medtech space and to work on the eye. And that's why we founded Acuity back in 2019. The goal was to use our knowledge of optics and measurements and engineering to apply measurements on the eye for a whole range of healthcare issues. Now, you might think of measuring the eye, you want to know what's going on inside the eye for its own sake. So for ophthalmology, for helping with glaucoma and myopia and those things, we're certainly doing that. But perhaps more importantly, we're using the eye as the window into the more general health of the body. And there are many health conditions, including diabetes and Alzheimer's, where you get markers in the eye. We wanted to use the eye as the medium for measuring those and thereby working on the prevention of disease rather than just monitoring conditions once someone's ill. And if you look at many of these conditions that are, you know, chronic lifelong conditions, if you can catch the person before they've caught that problem and then prevent that disease coming through, you make much greater benefits there, their quality of life and their lifespan as well. So that's kind of our primary goal with Acuity, is to prevent disease rather than just treat it.
Great work that you're doing out there. But I'd like to look at the solutions and, of course, your technology. You've outlined well there the work you're doing to identify diseases such as diabetes and Alzheimer's. But of course, there's solutions out there at the moment. I think the question here is about what Acuity, you know, what is Acuity doing differently? You know, what's the problem that you're trying to fix in the industry at this point in time and why it matters to the patients?
Yeah, that's the key point. So there are many areas in healthcare where you're absolutely right. You can diagnose a condition once someone's got it, or you can monitor that condition and help them improve their daily lives. But many of those measurements involve invasive tests. I need to contact the eye to measure corneal thickness, for example, with ultrasound. Or in diabetes, you need to use needles to measure blood glucose levels, either by puncturing the finger every time you make a measurement or having a patch on the arm where a needle sticks in the skin for a week or two at a time. But in those measurements there, you're either touching the patient in an invasive way that's unpleasant, or you're puncturing a hole in the skin or doing a biopsy or whatever. So in each case, it's unpleasant for the patient and you risk infection or damage or wider damage to the body. So our view was that if you could do things non-invasively, it's far better for the patient, but also it means you can make the measurements in a less clinical setting. And that's where screening comes in. And screening is distinct from diagnosis. So if, take diabetes, for example, if someone has diabetes or starts showing symptoms, and therefore they'll present to their GP, their doctor, who'll then do a diagnosis, to do a blood test and say, yes, you've got diabetes, we'll start treating it. But you're doing that once the person's got the condition and the body's being damaged by that condition. What's far more important and far more beneficial is detecting the person before they've got that chronic life-changing problem. And in the case of diabetes, you can catch someone potentially when they're pre-diabetic and therefore get them to change their lifestyle or add treatments to the pre-diabetes state and prevent them getting that full condition. So it's really that drive to make non-invasive measurements you can then do in a wider healthcare setting. So rather than demand the patient comes in hospital for a test, you know, tests that are performed in high street practice in pharmacies or opticians or GP surgeries, or ultimately devices which are, you know, personal use machines that can be integrated into phones where everyone can measure themselves whenever they wish without need to go into hospital first of all. And that's the key goal. It means that the testing is more accessible and therefore it's available to the wide population rather than just those who've got a problem and go and see their doctor.
From my understanding there, yes, the solution detects health and issues with the eye, but it's also there to detect diseases as well. So it's not just there to detect any issues with eye health. It's there as a tool to actually identify wider conditions within patients. So that, I think that's something that is particularly interesting, I think should be highlighted to investors. And I want to bring Mark into to this next point as well. And it is, you know, looking along similar lines, but looking at the wider market in terms of the competitive landscape, is there anybody out there that's doing a similar thing to you? You know, whether that just be looking at healthcare for the eye or actually diagnostic side of things. And Mark, I understand that you were a founding investor in Acuity. So I would like to actually bring you in here for the second part of this point and bring in why you found it such an attractive proposition to come into the company as an investor.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Jonathan. So a bit of background on me first. So my background is I'm a software developer, which I was for many years. And I've started, run and exited a few companies in various different spaces, generally within software. And I'd worked with Dan and Robin previously. I've been an angel investor for many years and I've been a non-exec on quite a few companies as well. So it was intriguing to listen to Dan and Robin and their vision for what they were looking to do with the non-invasive screening and the handheld technology. And I think that's something, as an angel investor, you know, you get opportunities to invest in a lot of different companies and businesses, but actually investing in something that you can make a difference with as well, I think is a rare opportunity. And I think that was one of the things that really intrigued me with joining Dan and Robin on the journey and putting together the sort of initial investment round with some of the people, contacts and things that I know. And then subsequently been involved in the funding round since then. So to be in a position where you can create devices that actually can make a real difference to people's lives, I think is very important. So that was, I think, one of the reasons that I actually got involved in the first place. And it's also a hugely interesting area to work in with some great people, great teams within business, you know, multiple PhDs working on cutting edge technologies. But we also have a vision in terms of how that's delivered with a platform technology that runs from simpler devices where we're looking at measuring structures within the eye all the way through to the oculomics devices, which actually look to be able to screen and measure the impact of systemic diseases through markers. It's a hugely exciting opportunity to be involved in. It has both the interest in terms of doing something that makes a difference, but also the opportunity to get significant return as the platform technology matures and we get not only the first devices, but the market size grows significantly as we run through those devices.
Would just make a note to listeners, do check out the description to this podcast because there'll be a link through to Acuity's crowdfunding page where we'll be able to get some more information and have a deeper look at the devices that Mark has kindly outlined there. But I think a quick question here would be just to clarify and get a better picture really in terms of your distribution. Is this going to be a device, maybe the first device and future devices? Are you going to be targeting sales to NHS Trust, for example, private healthcare groups, or is this something that somebody will be able to use at home themselves? I think it would be quite a good idea just to get a bit of clarity there on what the distribution channels will be like for the technology.
Yeah, sure. So our devices split really into two sections. We've got our first devices, which are on market now or very shortly on market, which are the ophthalmic devices, beginning with the PM1, which is the device which is geared at glaucoma. I'm moving on to the AX1, which is able to measure axial length for childhood myopia, which is a huge problem coming forward. And then we have our oculomics devices with a screening device for diabetes and for Alzheimer's, and ultimately our device for measuring glucose concentration, non-invasively, the Acuity Indigo. In terms of the first devices which are available now, then we have a distribution network. So over the last couple of years, we've set up approaching 20 distributors now, which covers many areas of the globe. We have discussions ongoing with global partners as well that are interested in either licensing the technology or providing distribution in areas where we're not covered. So there's a lot of active interest from distributors in both the PM1, which is selling now, and the AX1, which we have significant interest from, including things like letters of intent from Cooper Vision, who given us a letter of intent for between 5,000 and 10,000 units a year of that device. So our strategy on the first devices, on the ophthalmic devices, is to sell through distributors. And that's something, as a relatively small company in terms of the size of some of the players within the market, there's making sure that you can actually have the distributors to manage the regulatory framework that you need to in each of those different countries is quite important. As we move forward through to our oculomics devices, then there's something that potentially we can sell direct. And when we look at things like the NHS trusts, we have a distributor in the UK and we're registered on the NHS pillars to be able to sell that through. But that is going through a distribution network in the first instance. As we move towards our later devices, they're also not a straight sale because of the fact that we'd be looking at a monthly recurring revenue on those later devices and actually also collecting some of the data. So it's a mixed strategy, but the devices that we have on market at the moment are going through our ophthalmic distribution channels.
You actually just answered a question that I was going to ask in terms of what the revenue model looks like. As you mentioned, it sounds like it's going to be sales of devices to start with, but there is that recurring revenue model down the line. Is that correct?
It's a very important point. So initially, the first products, the PM1 and the AX1, are straightforward sales. And that maximizes revenues in the short term, which we are obviously a small stage company. That's very important. As we go on, as Mark said, we go to more towards a device as a service model, where the machines are on a monthly recurring revenue financial structure. That means not only that we have an ongoing revenue stream, which maximizes valuation upon exit, but also means that we'll own and control the data that comes through. And that data will have ever more value as time goes on. So when you start scanning the eye and you collect information from the eye, we'll keep that raw data, we'll analyze it in ever more complex detail, and there'll certainly be AI overlays on the algorithms we've got, and we started playing around with that now and got some interesting results from the first work using artificial intelligence and neural networks to analyze the data. But yes, understanding the data in more detail, finding other parameters in the eye, so the oculomics data set will increase as time goes on, and that will add ever-increasing value to Acuity as we move forwards.
We're going to start to talk about the crowdfunding round now, but I think it would be good before we get into it, is to look at the journey so far. You obviously set the business up in 2019. Could you talk us through the process that you've been through, the development, and what's been happening recently at the company?
Yeah, indeed. So we founded in 2019. We then worked for the first year or two getting the PM1 pachymeter, a device for the glaucoma market, ready. That then ran through clinical trials in conjunction with Moorfields and City University in London. And that then got CE marking approval towards the end of last year, 2024. And that's, as Mark says, is now selling via 20 or so distributors globally. So that's picking up very well. In parallel with that, the team's also worked on the AX1 axiometer, the machine for myopia. And that's teed up to come to market next year. That will go through regulatory approvals in the UK, US and Europe simultaneously. So we'll roll out throughout 2026 into those various territories. And that's a key change for the company. So the PM1 is doing very well, but the AX1 is transformational in terms of revenues. As Mark says, we've got letters of intent for 10,000 units from one company alone. So we sell 10,000 units per year of the AX1 at a market price of $10,000. You can see revenues get very high, very rapidly indeed. So that's a machine that's very exciting for us. But alongside the ophthalmic products, we're also working on the oculomics ones, and they're primarily funded by a mixture of investment capital, but also a number of government grants. We've got over £4 million of grants awarded to us over the last, 4 or 5 years. And that's funded work on the Acuity Indigo, of course, the glucose meter, but also on devices for screening for diabetes and Alzheimer's, and longer term projects looking at imaging the retina, which are useful in sepsis and various other parameter sets as well. So we've had a sort of combination of creating the machines that create early revenues, but also investing heavily in the long-term projects that create value for the exit for the company.
So crowdfunding, as we said at the beginning, currently on Republic. Why now? Why are you going to the market at this point in time to raise funds?
Yeah, so we've done very well on funding so far. We've raised a little bit over £9 million of investments since we started. and about 1.5 million of that has come from crowdfunding. All of our investments so far have been pretty much from angel investors. We've got no VCs involved, no institutions involved, which means that, you know, the equality of the shareholding is very much amongst the angels. There's no institutions with preferential terms or those sort of things that angels don't like. And the crowdfunding has been very good. Of course, we've raised money from high net worth individuals investing directly in the company, but everybody knows somebody that's had diabetes, or a relative or a friend or a family member or whatever. So it's all very, very personal, and people want to help in this field. And as Mark mentioned, you're not only be looking here at creating value in the company, also doing something that's very worthwhile and helping millions of people, tens of millions of people globally with these health conditions. So making the round open to the smaller investors as well has been very important to us. And crowdfunding is the way to do that. And we've raised about £1.5 million in total through what was Cedars is now Republic over the years. And with this current funding round, it made sense to go with them again. The current funding round we're really doing for an interesting inflection point at the moment. The PM1 on market and creating revenues, and the AX1 coming to market next year. We're now in discussion with a large number of the ophthalmic instrument manufacturers, companies that are involved in myopia management, and leaders in the ophthalmic space. And there's conversations there now with about 8 of those companies. And they're all very, very interested in their ophthalmic products and are very keen to tie us into global rights, distribution rights, manufacturing rights, whatever. We want to make sure, though, we're negotiating those deals on the best terms for ourselves. And to do that, we need to make sure we're financially secure and very, you know, financially stable. So we're looking at the moment of raising £2 million in our current funding round. We're about halfway there so far. And that funding really is geared up towards making the company financially strong so that we can take the AX1 to market ourselves and develop it as we wish to and commercialize that through the distribution network we've got, but can also negotiate with these big players from a position of strength. So the use of funds of the current funding round is really to drive the AX1 forward to make it a product that's on market and selling, to expand the PM1 sales, but also to support the Oculomics projects and keep those moving forwards and co-fund the government grants we've got that are helping those move forwards at the pace they are.
Covered off some points there. Particularly important is getting yourself in a financial position to fund that next stage of growth. You know, from what you've outlined so far, you've got the orders there. It just sounds like it's a case of delivering those. And you know, going back to that point about crowdfunding, great, you're bringing in angel investors into the round. And of course, you've done a crowdfunding round, I believe, in the past. You did mention there that, you know, no VCs. What's the thinking behind that? You know, is it something that you purely like working with angel investors? Of course, you know, Mark, I know you're an angel investor yourself. It would be good to get a little bit more insight onto that and in terms of why you're actually really interested in those angels and that crowdfunding as opposed to going down the VC route.
So what we found with the angel investor group we've got is that a large number of them are involved in the ophthalmic space. We've got distributors, optometrists, ophthalmologists involved in investing in us. And having that market expertise, it partly validates what we're doing, but it also means we've got people who can provide more than just, you know, the cash investment. They've got links into the market, they've got connections, they've got advice on how we structure the commercial deals, those sort of things. And that's all very valuable. We're certainly not averse to institutional investment. That will come through probably in a year and a half's time. We do a Series A round once we're on market with the AX1. But having gone to market as we have with just angel investors means that all the investors have similar share classes, and therefore we're, you know, sharing in the upside value as we create that value equally. And that's very important to us. And that ties in with crowdfunding investment as well, in that it's not only high net worth who can invest, it's a broad range of people. People affected by diabetes or Alzheimer's or are interested in the space. They can not only invest and get a financial return, but can also be involved in a company that's creating some great benefit for the world and, you know, the world of health.
Mark, I'd like to bring you back in, if I may, for the next question. Of course, as one of the founding investors and as somebody that has exited a number of businesses yourself. Now, of course, there's no guarantees in the answer for this question, but it'd be good to get your thoughts and insights on what you actually see as potential exit routes for investors that are coming into the round in the future.
Yeah, sure. So obviously an exit is something that investors look at closely when they're looking at an investment. And I'm no different in that respect, even though I'm heavily involved in the business. But when we looked at the plans and we put together the business plans back in the early days, we have been focusing on IPO and probably one of the most likely areas would be some form of NASDAQ listing, whether in the US or there are areas where NASDAQ are operational in other areas as well. And I think the thinking behind that is because of the fact that we have a range of products. We're not a one company product. We have our ophthalmic side, which are very exciting. We have a pipeline even beyond the AX1 to be able to commercialize handheld non-contact devices, which is quite unique in the space, that there are handheld devices within the space, but they tend to be contact. There's very few handheld non-contact optical devices like we have. And it's a big issue in the ophthalmic side to actually have the space to be able to add additional machines into the things like the chains. They have consulting rooms, which generally have very expensive machines in there. So being able to take the machines actually out into the front office for measurements is quite a plus point. So we've got a lot of work going on the ophthalmic side, and we're developing devices on the oculomic side for the systemic disease. They're to a degree slightly different markets, even though the delivery of those products may well go through through similar areas in terms of, you know, an optometrist maybe where you go to actually get your scan for diabetes or pre-diabetes. So the delivery may be similar, but in terms of the devices and the size of the market and the fact that they're also devices as a service is different. So that may lend itself more to an IPO exit in the future. But obviously, before we can do that, we need to get to revenues of a reasonable size, which is likely to come in the first instance from the AX1, as Dan says, with, you know, 10,000 units a year at 10,000 US. It is actually a lot of revenue coming through. So that's our primary focus for exit. But as Dan mentioned also, we're in discussion with pretty much all of the major players who are huge corporations in the ophthalmic side, and who cross over into some of the areas that we're looking at on the oculomic side as well. So we're looking at an IPO as our planned exit, but we're certainly pragmatic enough to actually look at a trade sale on the way if that actually presents itself. That's kind of where our thinking is at the moment on an exit.
To finish off, Dan, I'd like to go back to you. And, you know, a couple of questions I'm going to roll in into one here. You know, first of all, how do you see the market evolving over the next 3 to 5 years? And then over that period, what are the key milestones that you'd like to see Acuity achieve over that period?
I think the market is evolving in a number of interesting ways. There are various forces that are converging at this point in time to make there been quite dramatic changes in the ophthalmic market, but also the whole idea of oculomics. So if you go to your optician, historically you've gone to your optician that have measured your eyes and said, yes, you need glasses or whatever. They'll now also offer you hearing tests and other things too. So they're moving away from being purely eye-focused into doing other health conditions too. And we're seeing all the big chains in the UK and more broadly than that are now interested in adding other health parameter sets into their offering. So they're very interested in our diabetes screening products. They're very interested in our Alzheimer's products. They want to be far more healthcare-focused rather than just eye-focused. And that feeds into the government and the NHS goal of moving healthcare out of hospitals and more into the high street practices. So there's a goal to make healthcare more accessible. So those kind of forces are coming together and working to our advantages. So although the ophthalmic products, we've got the PM1 and the AX1 now, we'll have second generation versions of those with more parameter sets that can measure more things and parameters more easily, that will carry on increasing. It's really the oculomics is where things are moving. It's measuring more parameters via the eye. As you mentioned, first of all, that would happen in a high street practice, in ophthalmologists, first of all, optician surgeries, and then into pharmacists as well. But as time goes on, it's really moving healthcare out into private personal use devices. Fallout from COVID, I guess people are now used to doing lateral flow tests at home. You now buy blood pressure monitors to use at home. Fitbits are really taking off. It's really moving into a wellness space and preventing disease rather than just treating yourself once you're ill. And in order to do that, you need to monitor your body and make sure those certain characteristics are all in line and where they should be. And to do that, you need devices at home. So I think the move really is moving away from healthcare being something you go into a hospital to have, to being something that you manage yourself at home and prevent yourself becoming ill rather than just treating it. So that kind of move there is where we're heading in the long term. And aligned with that, of course, is the data you're collecting, how you analyze that data and how you process that in the back end systems. And of course, artificial intelligence is going to be key to actually managing that information, not only because of the analysis is quite complex, but also the vast data sets that will be created. So for Acuity, has moved from being a company selling machines into high street practices via our distribution network into actually doing direct sales later on, but then being much more of a B2C sale where people buy the machines and use at home individually rather than being something we're selling into a clinical setting.
That's great. Thank you very much, Dan. Just as a note to listeners, I did mention earlier on in the podcast, but do check out the description to this podcast because there'll be a link through to Acuity's crowdfunding page. You'll be able to find more information, download their pitch deck, and of course, direct some questions to Dan and Mark. So, gentlemen, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jonathan.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.